The following program does not necessarily represent the views and opinions of Reality Radio 101, its advertisers and sponsors, or its listening audience. Listener discretion is advised. And welcome to the Spirit of Faith Talk Radio with your host, Pastor John Ward, right here on Reality Radio 101. To get on board right now, send us an email. Our email address is instudio101@gmail.com.
Your faithfulness, I'm still in your hands. This is my confidence. You never fail. Your promise still stands.
And now, right to your host of the Spirit of Faith, Pastor John Ward.
Praise the Lord, everybody. God is good, and Jesus is Lord.
Hello, Pastor. Are you there? We lost Pastor for a moment. Folks, if you're just tuning in, you are listening to the Spirit of Faith Talk Radio, and you can get a hold of us by writing to us right now, instudio101@gmail.com. There you go, Pastor.
Are you there?
I am here.
Okay, I thought I lost you. Praise God. Praise the Lord, everybody. Sorry, having a little technical difficulty tonight, which happens once in a while. I've lost my video. Can you see me, Gary?
I cannot.
Okay, we'll see if we can fix that. Praise God. But you all can hear me, and I'm so glad to be with you tonight. God is good, and Jesus is Lord, to the glory of God the Father. No matter what you're going through tonight, I want to remind you that God is not and has never been your problem. God is on your side, and he loves you, and he's got a plan and a purpose for your life. You know, Satan will put these thoughts in your head to try to get you to think that somehow God doesn't love you, he doesn't care for you, he's forgotten about you, and all this kind of stuff, and try to cause depression to take over your mind and your thoughts and even in your heart. And these are lies from the enemy. That's why God has given us authority over the devil, to not allow the enemy to have the ability to rob us from our joy and from our peace, but we have to use our authority. Luke 10:19, Jesus said, "Look, I give unto you authority to trample on serpents and scorpions and overcome all the power of the enemy, and nothing shall by any means harm you." And so God has a plan, God has a way, but we have to walk in that way. And that's why renewing our mind is so important. That's why being in the Word of God is so important. God is not going to do it for us. And that's something we have to remember. We are the ones that have to use the authority that God has given us, and it's in the name of Jesus, the name that's above every name. Well, I'm excited about the radio show tonight. I'm so glad that you are with us. I encourage you right now to get on board by emailing me in studio101@gmail.com. That's in studio 101@gmail.com. Praise God. And grab that link. Give me a like and a share on Facebook and grab that link and send it out right now so that other folks can get on board as well. Those watching on Facebook, I apologize for the two.
Oh, Pastor, we lost you again. Folks, if you're just tuning in, this is the...
back.
There you go. You're back.
I'm sorry. Yeah, my whole computer just dropped. Sorry for the technical difficulties this evening. Bless the Lord. So give me a like and a share on Facebook, and we will have a great time in the Word tonight. Let's pray, and we'll get right into the Word. Heavenly Father, in the name of Jesus, we give you glory and praise and honor. Father, we thank you for your love. We thank you for your faithfulness, your goodness, your mercy. Thank you, Lord, for all that you have done and for all that you are doing. You are a very present help in the time of trouble, and there is nothing too hard for you. So we thank you tonight for what you're going to do on this radio show. We thank you for miracles. We thank you for signs and wonders. We thank you, Lord, that there is no distance in the Spirit. I just feel led right now to pray for those in Ukraine. Father, we lift up all the Christians and the pastors and every person in Ukraine, and we just ask you right now, Lord, to strengthen them, to continue to harden them to difficulty, as your word tells us in Isaiah 55. We pray right now, Lord, that they will not quit. They will continue to fight for freedom. For your will, Father, is freedom in Ukraine, not bondage or depression through Russia or through any dictator. And really, we understand, Father, that these are spirits that we are wrestling with, this spirit that would try to take God out of our life, this spirit that would try to control us and remove freedom. But your word tells us that where the Spirit of the Lord is, there is freedom, there is liberty. And so we thank you for freedom and liberty in Ukraine and for the people in Ukraine. We lift up every single listener right up on our radio show tonight and on Facebook. Father, we pray for your strength. We pray for your joy, which is our strength. We pray for your peace. And we thank you, Lord, for a flow of the Holy Spirit on this show tonight, that there shall be no further distractions. In Jesus' mighty name, amen, amen, and amen. Praise God. Gary, I'm sure glad you're with us tonight.
Well, thank you, Pastor. Always a pleasure, of course.
Any day that we are 6 feet above is a good day.
Absolutely, amen.
We're still here. We got work to do. God's got a plan for our lives, and we are not quitters. We are those that press on. You know, sometimes, Gary, life doesn't go the way that we think it's going to go.
Boy, do I know that.
And, you know, sometimes we think that, you know, we finally got to a place where we're comfortable and a place where things are smooth. And then all of a sudden, life happens. Yes. And I'm not talking about the God kind of life. I'm talking about things that happen down here. Did you ever see that movie, Mars? Who was in that?
No.
Was it called Mars? It was trying to think of his name. Not Mark Wahlberg, the other guy. I always think they are similar. But this astronaut...
Matt Damon, actually, you're thinking of?
Yeah, Matt Damon. He had his PhD in the movie. He had his PhD in botany. And he was on this trip to Mars. And, you know, one day they're getting toward the end of their trip. And one day... you know, and things are going smooth and going great, but all of a sudden, one day, this storm comes, and they go inside to take shelter from the storm, but the storm actually causes their mission to completely turn and be completely changed. And, you know, people in life go through very similar circumstances. All of a sudden, they'll get a diagnosis of cancer, or they'll have a divorce. You know, divorce is really the death of a relationship. And it's very similar to when someone dies and you become a widow or a widower. It's a death of a relationship, except the dead are still alive on the earth, but they're dead to you in a sense. And so all of these circumstances really can shake you up. And I remember, Gary, back in 2008 when the housing market crashed and the financial market crashed, people jumped out of windows in New York City.
Yeah.
They lost their life savings. And then you had situations like Bernie Madoff, and, you know, he made off with all these people's life yeah. savings, and they ended up with nothing. And, you know, in those situations, there's this thought and tendency, I just want to quit. I want to quit everything. I just want to give up. And sometimes the circumstances are not even that intense. Sometimes the circumstances are really minimal, and yet people just want to give up and quit. And there is no quit in Christ. And that's the thing we have to understand, is that when we go through tests and trials, we just reboot. We don't quit. We reboot. And it's like tonight trying to get all this electronic stuff going and it's not working. So I don't quit. I just reboot. And you keep on going. We do not quit in Christ. There is no quit. God's got an amazing plan for our life. And the way that we find perspective, the way that we find victory, the way that we overcome is always through faith. God has designed this conduit for us to receive his power, for us to receive answers, for us to be able to overcome, and it is faith. 1 John 5, this is the victory. I want to look at it. Before we go to our foundation text tonight, turn with me, everybody, to 1 John chapter 5. Praise God. Hallelujah. 1 John 5, I'm pulling it up myself. And verse 4, 1 John 5 and verse 4, and it says, for whatsoever, or you could say whosoever, is born of God overcomes the world. Now, the word overcomes here is the Greek word nikeo. Now, you remember that shoe company, Gary, and they have this slogan, just do it?
It was Nike, I think.
Nike. Now, this word in the Greek is nikeo. That's the word Nike. Did you know that Nike, the tennis shoe, is a Greek word?
I did not know.
The word Nike. And this word victory, that's what Nike means. Nike means victory. And I think it's very interesting that they would take the slogan for their company, and their slogan is what?
Just do it.
Just do it. So victory is a matter of doing. Remember, there are five elements to faith. We talk about it regularly. The five elements to faith is that faith comes by hearing, and then you have to receive, you have to believe, you have to speak the word, and then you have to act on the word. These five elements are critically important if you're going to receive victory. You got to do it. And so he says, this is the victory. I'm in 1 John 5, 4. This is the victory that overcomes the world. Now, the Greek word world is the Greek word cosmos. Do you remember that word, Gary? I've talked about that Greek word,
yes.
Cosmos.
Yes.
Cosmos means the order or the arrangement of this world. So this world, let me ask you this question, Gary. Is God in control of this world? Think about it now. Now,
no.
You can watch the news tonight.
Yeah.
And immediately you can tell that God ain't in control.
No.
No. What has he done? He has given the control of this earth over to man. So the scripture tells us in Psalms, the earth is the Lord and the fullness thereof. But the earth he has given to the children of men. You can look that up. It's in Psalms. He has given the, instead of doing that, since we're in Bible,
oh, we lost you, Pastor.
Instead of just telling you tonight, since it's Bible study night, let's turn to it real quick. Bless the Lord. It is Psalms. There's a couple verses, actually, that say this. Praise God. Psalms, that's not the one I want. Praise God. I'm almost there, saints. I could spell earth right.
Are we all saints?
I'm sorry?
Are we all saints?
Absolutely. If you're in Christ, you're a saint.
Okay. That's a great...
And I will show you that shortly, because that's a great question. I'm glad you brought that up.
People remind have asked me that. They've heard you say that.
Yeah, make sure I get to that
before
we close tonight. Absolutely. Anything that I say or teach, if I can't back it up in the Word of God, do not believe me. If I can't give you a scripture and verse on it, that's why I'm having you turn right now to Psalms. Look at Psalms 115 and verse 16. Those of you on Facebook, I'm going to share it with you real quick. Psalms 115 and verse 16. Praise God. Share. Praise God. Thank you, Lord. Hallelujah. Praise the Lord. I don't see it. Bless God. Let's go here. Okay. Psalms 115, verse 16. The heaven, even the heavens are the Lord's, but the earth. Now, remember, there are three heavens. Have you heard me talk about that, Gary? There's three heavens.
No, I don't recall that.
So the Bible says that there are three heavens. The first heaven is our atmosphere. Not the earth. The earth is the earth. But the first heaven is the atmosphere around the earth. The second heaven is the starry space where all the galaxies are located. And the third heaven, Paul said in 2 Corinthians chapter 12, that he was caught up to the third heaven and saw unspeakable things. So the third heaven is right now where the holy city, the New Jerusalem, is. That's the city where Jesus said in John 14, I go to prepare a place for you so that where I am, there you may be also. This is in the third heaven right now. And the third heaven consists of crystal rivers, paradise, and the holy city, which is the holy city, the New Jerusalem. This is the third heaven. So notice here, the psalmist said, the heaven, even the heavens, I'm in Psalms 115, verse 16. The heaven, even the heavens are the Lord's, but the earth he has given to the children of men. For how long, Gary, did God give the earth to the children of men forever? And this is kind of a trick question.
No.
So I would have first said no, but technically the answer is yes, because he has given the earth as an eternal covenant to man forever. However, he gave the earth to Adam as a lease, or as a temporary probation and trial period to see if he would do the right thing. Remember what God told him. He gave him one basic rule of what not to do. He gave him other things to do. He said, be fruitful and multiply. He said, restock or replenish the earth. He said, guard the garden. And what he didn't do is he didn't guard the garden. And then God told him, he said, all of the trees of the garden you may freely eat, except the tree of the knowledge of good and evil. For the day that you eat that tree, you shall surely die. Or the Hebrew says, in dying, you will die. Now, what does it mean? You know this by now, Gary. What does it mean? When the Bible talks about death, what does that mean?
Separation from God.
You got it, brother. 100%. So, man, that encourages me. So when you're separated from God, you're dead, because the only life that we have eternally is in the Father through Jesus Christ. Well, the moment that Adam ate that fruit, did Adam die?
Yes.
Yeah, he was separated from God. Did his body die?
No.
Took his body 930 years to figure out how to die. Why? His body was made to live forever. But what did sin do, Gary? The wages of sin is?
Death.
But the gift of God is eternal life through Jesus Christ our Lord. So sin killed his body, but sin separated him from God immediately. Immediately he was separated from God, which was not God's will. God's will is that he live forever. But there was a probation on the earth to see if you do what I said, you're going to then receive what I said. If you don't do what I said, you're not going to receive what I said. And this is the thing we have to understand. Just because it's God's will does not mean it's going to happen. And you've heard me say this many times, Gary. What's more powerful in an individual's life, God's will or their will?
Their will.
Exactly, because God will never override his will in your life. If you want it, you can have it. If you don't want it, you don't have to have it. Jesus said this. Jesus said, I came to do thy will, O God. It's actually in the book of Psalms, and then it's actually in the book of Hebrews, chapter 1. I came to do thy will, O God. And he has given him the scepter of righteousness as a result. And so Jesus received God's will because he did God's will. But you and I are no different. If we will not do God's will, we won't receive God's will. And God's will is for us to live forever. So back to Psalms 115, verse 16, the heaven, even the heavens are the Lord's, but the earth he has given to the children of men. So this lease, I believe, and there's many scriptures that I can give you. Now, there's not one, you know, flat out scripture, but there's several that give us this understanding that the earth has a 6-day lease. Now, remember, Gary, a day with the Lord is how long?
I don't remember how many years.
But 1,000 years.
1,000 years. Okay.
Yeah. And since we're in Psalms, just drop back to Psalms 90. I'm doing it right now on my computer so you all can see it. I think it's verse 5, maybe. Psalms 90, bless the Lord. I'm close. Psalms 90, verse 4. For 1,000 years in thy sight are but as yesterday when it is past. So, and as a watch in the night. So one night or one day with God is 1,000 years. And 2 Peter, I believe, chapter 2 also says, be not ignorant of this one thing, that a day with the Lord is 1,000 years and 1,000 years as a day. So Moses, the Lord spoke in Genesis chapter 6, verse 3. He said, my spirit will not always strive with man, but his days shall be numbered 120. How old was Moses when he died, Gary? Do you remember?
600 years?
120, actually.
Oh, 120. That's right.
That's right. And he didn't go into the promised land. And the reason he didn't set foot, he saw the promised land, but he didn't go in it. Because God said, I will not reward you by allowing you to take my people into the promised land because you disobeyed me. God told him to smite the rock one time, but he smote it twice. And he smote it the second time in anger, and he misrepresented the character of God. And because of that misrepresentation, God said, you'll see it, but you won't go in it. Now, that's not for eternity. That was for that moment. And that was to illustrate a very important lesson that God will reward those that are obedient, and those that are not obedient will miss out on what God wants them to have. And this is so important to understand, because many times we're blaming God for what's going on in our life, but the only person we need to blame is ourselves. Now, listen, in the New Testament, all we got to do is receive mercy. Even if we find ourselves in a situation that we created, we messed up, we caused the situation and got into it. James chapter 1, verse 2 tells us what to do. He says, my brethren, count it all joy when you find yourself in divers temptations, knowing that the trying of your faith works patience. Now, the word temptations is the Greek word perasmos. It means a trial of any kind of trial, any kind of situation. You caused it. The devil caused it. Whatever, you're in it. He said, count it all joy. And then he said, let patience have a perfect work so that you may be perfect and entire, lacking nothing. If any man lack wisdom, wisdom about what? Just general wisdom, Gary? You think that's what he's talking about? No, he's talking about wisdom about the trial. How do I get out of this thing? What do I do? He said, if any man lack wisdom, what do you do? Do you remember, Gary? How do you get wisdom from God?
You ask Real for simple. It.
Ask Just ask for it. Just yeah. ask for it. And I love that next verse, Gary. He says, who abradeth not. God will not upbraid you. Now, that's an old King James word, upbraid, an old English word. Do you know what it means, Gary?
Not placate you.
It means he won't find fault with you.
Okay.
He won't pick on you. He won't say, well, this is your fault. You got yourself into this situation. God will not fault find. What is he going to do? He going to give you wisdom. You ask for it, he going to give it to you. Praise God. The Bible says in James also that we have not because we ask not. But he said, ask, Luke chapter 11, and you shall receive. Seek and you shall find. Knock and the door shall be open. So God wants us to receive. He's not going to pick on you. He wants to get you through it. So even if you jack things up, even if you mess things up, there is mercy that can be received. Again, in James, he says that mercy triumphs over judgment. God will give you mercy. You deserve judgment. You deserve punishment. You deserve to not go into the promised land. But in the new covenant, he said, your sins and your iniquities, I will remember no more. I'll wash them away as far as the east is from the west, never to be remembered again. God wants us to walk in his blessing. He wants us to walk in his promises. He doesn't want us to go around with lack and not having what he wants us to have. He has given us the ability, even in Ephesians, he says, redeeming the time, for the days are evil. You can redeem the time. You can buy it back. You can get back what the devil has stolen. You can get back what the cankerworm and the palmer worm have eaten. You can receive back what seemingly was gone. God can reverse it. And what does it take? Well, we said all that to go back to where we started in 1 John chapter 5, verse 4. Let's go back there. 1 John, I know I still have the Bible up on my screen. 1 John 5, 4. And he says, bless the Lord. He says, for whatsoever is born of God overcomes the world, or the system of this world, which is run by the devil. God is not the God of this world. Satan is the God of this world. 2 Corinthians 4, 4 says, in whom the God of this world has blinded their eyes and hardened their hearts, that seeing the truth, they can't receive it. So they don't see the reality because they are governed by this world. How do you come up out of this world? You believe God. At any moment that you choose to believe God, Jesus even said this himself. He said, I will heal you. At any moment that you receive, you can be healed. Your eyes can be healed. Your heart can be healed. Your ears can be healed. You can see and receive the realities of what God wants you to get. And when I use that reality, the word realities, I'm talking about the truth. And the truth is the word of God. So he said, this is the victory that overcomes the world. And this is the victory that overcomes the world, even our faith. Faith is the conduit that causes us to overcome. Verse 5, who is he that overcomes the world? He that believes. Now, if you're watching on Facebook, I just highlighted this word believe. It's the Greek word pisteu, and it's the same word here as faith. Faith here is the Greek word pistis. Pisteu is just a different conjugation of this same word. Pistis means confidence, reliance, persuasion, conviction. It's a knowing on the inside. And this is faith that you believe, that you know, that you are fully persuaded of. It is then going to come out of your mouth. Remember the five elements of faith: hearing, receiving, believing, speaking, and acting. When the word of God is on the inside of you, when you got confidence that God's word is final authority, God, and that's what means when you say Jesus is Lord, you're saying final authority. When Jesus is final authority in your life, then you are not relying upon what you see or what your head might tell you, but you're relying upon what God's word tells you. Gary, it's like the difference between being visually flight rated and instrument flight rated.
Yes.
Do you need to be instrument flight rated when you can see everything?
No.
When you're not in the clouds or you're not at a certain altitude, do you need instruments?
No.
No, you're walking by what you see, and that's okay. But when the moment you can't see, and you know, that's how John F. Kennedy Jr. died. Did you ever watch the documentary on how he died?
I did, but I also read the official FAA report of the investigation.
And what was the gist of it?
Spatial disorientation. He went into what we call IMC, instrument meteorological conditions, which is clouds, haze, fog, clouds. And right. He ended up doing a spiral and crashing.
Right.
He got disoriented.
He got disoriented. He was trying to pull up. And in trying to pull up out of it, he was actually inverted and was going straight down. And he went straight into the water at a high rate of speed. Isn't that right?
That's correct. Pastor, so why? Go ahead.
No, go ahead, please.
I got a text message from a friend of mine who's listening to the show.
Yeah.
And back when you talked about Adam and the tree of good and evil.
Yeah.
His question was, if Adam, once his eyes were opened after he ate the apple, if he realized what he did and asked God for forgiveness, that he was sorry, mm-hmm. would the course of history have been changed?
I don't think so. But here's the deal. He never asked for forgiveness.
Yes, that's right. He was wondering if he did, would there be no sin then again, right? That's what,
you know what? It's a great question. And I think probably there's a very good chance that that's what would have happened. And we do have an example of that, which I'll talk about in just a second. But the moment that Adam sinned, he ate the fruit, he died, and fear came upon him. And literally the nature and the character of Satan came into his heart. So instead of having the life of God and the glory, remember, was Adam technically naked before he sinned?
No, he didn't know he was naked.
No, he had the glory of God on him. He was clothed in the glory. But the moment that he sinned, the clothes came off of him and he was naked. And then he became full of what? Do you remember what he became full of?
I don't know the word, but he was ashamed, right? He was hiding from God.
Yeah, he was full of, exactly, and full of fear. And he hid himself in shame. That's I wouldn't have even said that. That was perfect, Gary. That's exactly what it was. He became full of shame, became full of fear. And then he tried to clothe himself because he knew he was naked. He wasn't naked before, but now that he ate the fruit, he's naked. And so now he doesn't have the glory on him, so he tries to replace the glory with some fig leaves and tries to put the fig leaves together to put them on. And then one of the things that God did right away is God killed an animal, took the skin of that animal, and reclothed him. So he clothed him in a leather jacket, couldn't clothe him in the glory because of sin. But now the question is, what if he had repented right then? It's a really awesome question. You know, I've often thought, you know, what if he said, God, this woman has eaten the fruit and I love this woman. You gave her to me and I ask you to forgive her, but I'm not going to eat the fruit because you told me not to. See, now would his humility caused her sins to be covered? I don't know. I don't know. But here's the thing about David. Do you remember what David did, Gary? David, as during the time of the kings, David was supposed to be at war. And instead of being at war during the time of war, I said time of the kings, but time of war, he stayed in his palace. And he was looking out the window and saw on the rooftop next to his palace a woman named Bathsheba. And she was gorgeous. And she was naked and she was taking a bath and lust entered into his heart and he wanted to have sex with her. And he ended up having sex with her, got her pregnant, and then he conspired to murder her husband and killed him. You remember that story?
I kind of do, yes.
And so David, for a whole year, the baby died in sin, in David's sin, the baby died. And a whole year went by, and the prophet Nathan came to David and spoke to David and gave him this parable, if you will, and said there was a man who was very poor, and all he had was this precious lamb. And he loved this lamb like his own daughter. He slept with this lamb, took care of this lamb. This lamb was his child. And one day this rich man came into town, and one of the men wanted to make a meal for the man and demanded that this man give up his lamb and kill it for one meal. And he wouldn't do it. And so he did it anyway. And Nathan said, you know, what should happen to this man? And David said, he should be killed. And Nathan said, thus saith the Lord, you are the man. This is what you did to Bathsheba's husband. And he fell on his face immediately and he repented. Now the law, the law that they lived under, the law of Moses, commanded that David should have been taken outside of Jerusalem and stoned to death, even as the king, stoned to death. But David immediately fell on his face and repented. What if Adam had repented? I don't know. But David repented. And the Bible tells us in Romans, talking about the sure mercies of David, that he said, blessed is the man whose iniquities and sins are not imputed to him. Well, the only way that sins and iniquities are not imputed is through faith in the blood of Jesus. And so what did David do? David received a promise that was only available through the blood of the Messiah, which was not going to be shed for 800 years later. And he received that promise 800 years earlier by simply repenting and trusting in God, and he received the forgiveness of his sins. And he will have an eternal throne in Jerusalem because of his faith in God. And that's how powerful faith is. Faith will cause you to receive the impossible. Faith will cause you to overcome the impossible. Faith will cause you to win every time. That's why we have to learn as believers. Don't walk by sight. Don't walk by what you see. Don't walk by what you feel. Walk by the word of the living God. This is the only way to please God, and this is the only way to receive from God. It's faith in God that causes us to win. This is the victory that overcomes the world. Victory, Nike, victory that overcomes the world. Even our pistis, our confidence, our persuasion. All you're saying in faith is you're saying, I believe God more than I believe what I see. I believe God more than what I feel. I believe God more than what someone else has said. I believe God more than anything. God's word, Jesus Christ, is Lord of my life. He is final authority in my life. What he said, I believe it, and that settles it, and I'm going to live by that no matter what. I'm digging my feet in, and I'm not going to quit. I'm not going to surrender. I'm not going to give up. I'm going to walk by my confidence, my persuasion in God's word above everything else. Praise the Lord. Hallelujah. Amen. All right. Let's read our text real quick, and then we're going to get to your questions tonight. I haven't even peeked at my email. Bless the Lord. Do I still have the scriptures on the screen, Gary?
No, you do not. Not on my screen, no.
Okay, they're off. Bless God. All right. Let's see, how many emails do I have? If you want to email me right now, you can email me instudio101@gmail.com. That's instudio101@gmail.com. If you're a first time listener, I'd love to hear from you. Take a moment. Just, it takes you 30 seconds, and send me a quick email and let me know where you're listening from. I would love to give you a shout out on the air. That's instudio101@gmail.com. Lots of good emails tonight. We'll get to them here in just a moment. I can't do a radio show without reading our foundation text, which is 2 Corinthians chapter 4 and verse 13. 2 Corinthians 4:13. And it says, we having the same spirit of faith. Notice that faith is a spirit. It's not in the flesh. It's not in the natural. It's a spirit. According as it is written, I believed, and therefore have I spoken. So notice, five elements of faith. You hear the word, you receive the word, you believe the word. And as a matter of fact, let's take a moment and look at these five elements real quick, and I'll put them up on the screen. And I want you to write them down. Take a moment and write these down. You can also get Bishop Butler's book, Bishop Keith A. Butler. You can download it, I think, right on iBooks or however you listen. You can probably find it on Amazon, or you can go to our website, wordoffaith.cc, wordoffaith.cc, eStore/eStore, and you can download it right there. It's not very expensive, but it'll really change your life and change how you think. So I'm going to put this up on the screen for those of my friends that are on Facebook. Praise the Lord. Glory to God. Okay, so five elements of faith are: faith comes by hearing. Romans 10:17 says, so then faith cometh by hearing, and hearing by the word of God. Number two, faith comes by receiving. James chapter 1, verse 21, wherefore lay apart all filthiness and superfluity of naughtiness, and receive with meekness, gentleness, teachableness, the engrafted word. The word here is logos, talking about the written word, which is able to save your soul. So you have to hear the word, then you must receive the word. And then number three, faith comes by believing the word. Mark 11, 24, wherefore I say unto you, what things soever you desire, when you pray, believe that you receive them and you shall have them. So there are times when the pressure will come on the word after you received it. You heard it, you received it, but there's pressure coming on the word. And that pressure is trying to get you to not believe it, to try to go by how you feel, what you see, and all these natural things. But you got to make a decision. I believe that I receive. That's one of the most powerful things you can say, Gary, when you're going through a spiritual battle, is you can just say, I believe I receive the word. I believe I receive his promise. I believe I receive. The joy of the Lord is my strength. I believe I receive. Healing is mine. God is able to heal my heart. God's able to heal my blood pressure. God's able to heal my body and heal my intestines and heal my blood. I believe that I receive healing in my body.
Amen.
You don't have to understand it. You don't have to feel it. You don't have to get it. I heard Bishop Butler was preaching this morning, and he was talking about a situation. I'm trying to remember exactly what it was. It was just today's message. But he was talking about how the Lord told him to do something, and it made zero sense. It just made no sense. It just does not compute, you know, as the computer would say. I don't get it. But I don't have to get it. All I got to do is do it. I heard it. I receive it. Now I believe that I receive it. And when I do that, my faith is now working and I can receive what God has promised. So faith comes by believing. And then number four, faith comes by speaking. Romans chapter 10, verse 9, he says that if thou shalt confess with thy mouth the Lord Jesus and shall believe in thine heart that God has raised him from the dead, thou shalt be saved. Can you hear me okay, Gare?
Yep.
Yeah, I hit another button. So he says that if you shall believe in your heart that God raised him from the dead and say with your mouth, Jesus is my Lord. So faith comes by speaking. It's in your heart. Faith is in your heart, but now you got to speak it. 2 Corinthians 4:13. And then finally, faith comes by acting. James 1:22. But be doers of the word and not hearers only, deceiving your own selves. Now listen, everybody. Listen. When you do these five elements of faith, you will receive God's promise every single time. Every single time. All the promises of God, 2 Corinthians tells us, all the promises of God in Christ are yes, and in him they are amen. And the scripture also tells us that God is not a respecter of persons. In the book of James again, God is not a respecter of persons. I feel led to tell this to somebody right now who's listening. Take some time this week and even tonight and just read the Bible. Just read it. And start in the New Testament. You could start in Matthew, Mark, Luke, and John, and then in Acts, and then in 1 Corinthians, 2 Corinthians, or just open up the book of Ephesians and start reading. Open up the book of 1 John, or 1 Corinthians, 2 Corinthians, or 1 Thessalonians, 2 Thessalonians. Just start reading the Bible. Read it like a novel. Read it like a history book. Read it. See yourself in it. See God talking to you in it. And just read it. And when you read it, you're putting it in your heart and you're giving God something to work with. And you're also washing yourself with the word of God. Ephesians chapter 5 says, we are washed by the water of the word. And so just wash and cleanse yourself by reading the word of God. Hallelujah. Amen. All right. We ready to get some questions tonight, Gary?
Well, before you do that, Pastor, can we answer the question? Are we saints?
Oh, great. Thank you for reminding me. So are we saints? And the answer very simply is yes. And if you're on Facebook, once again, you're seeing me turn here in the scripture. And I just looked up the word saint and it came up 95 times. 95 times. Here's one. I'll start with the Old Testament, then we'll jump to the New Testament. But Psalms 116, verse 15. Psalms 116, verse 15. Precious in the sight of the Lord is the death of his saints. So there were obviously saints also in the Old Testament. Now, what does this word saint mean in the Old Testament? Well, it's the Hebrew word hasid. And hasid, H-A-S-I-Y-D in the transliteration, it means a godly person, a holy one, a merciful one, a saint. In other words, someone that acts like God. But in the New Testament, it's different because in the New Testament, we have literally become like God. You say what? You're trying to say we're God? I'm not saying it. Jesus actually said, you are gods. But what happens is that when we are born again, we are born again in the image and the likeness of Christ. The Bible says in Ephesians chapter 2 that we are his workmanship created in Christ Jesus to bring forth good works. 2 Corinthians 5:17 says that we become new creatures in Christ. Old things are passed away. All things become new. Galatians 5:22 tells us that the fruit of the Spirit, who God is deposited into us when we are born again. There are no spiritual defects in anyone who is born again. When you are born again, you are born with the nature of God. You're born with the life of God. God literally becomes your father. Jesus was the firstborn among many brethren. He died on that cross and he was separated from God. Yeah, he died physically, but he was separated from God. Remember what he said on that cross, Gary? In Aramaic, he said, Eli, Eli, lama sabachthani, which is to say, my God, why hast thou forsaken me? God forsook him, turned his back on him because Jesus became sin for us. Jesus did not commit sin. He was made sin. And 2 Corinthians 5:21 says that he who knew no sin, which is Jesus Christ, became sin that we might be made the righteousness of God in him. And now we have been made righteous. Now we have been made saints of God. And you're not a saint because of what you do. You're a saint because of who you are. You are now in Christ, and in Christ, you are now a brand new creature. You're a child of God. 1 John chapter 3, verse 1 says, beloved, what manner of love the Father has bestowed upon us that we should be called the sons of God. We are now sons of God. Just like Jesus is a son, we are a son. You say, but I'm a woman. If you're a woman or a man, you're a son of God. In Christ, there's neither male nor female, bond nor free, Jew nor Greek. All are one. All are the same. There is no favoritism. If you're in Christ, you are in Christ. One is not better than the other. Now, we have different offices and different responsibilities, but one is not better than the other. You're a saint of God if you are born again. Let's take a quick look at this in the New Testament. And he says in Acts, four times he refers to those in Christ as saints. In Romans chapter 1, verse 7, he says, to all that are in Rome, beloved of God, called to be saints, grace to you and peace from God our Father and the Lord Jesus Christ. Chapter Romans 8, verse 27, and he that searches the hearts knows what is the mind of the Spirit, because he makes intercession for the saints according to the will of God. We are the saints. He makes intercession for us, distributing to the necessity of the saints, talking about those at Jerusalem. The saints are those that are in Christ. Chapter 15, verse 25, but now I go into Jerusalem to minister unto the saints in Jerusalem. So anyone who is born again is a saint. You're not going to be a saint when you die. You're a saint when you're born again. Now, the Catholic Church has jacked this up. I don't mean anything negative to anybody in particular, but they have taught a false doctrine that somehow if somebody does a miracle, that they can then be canonized and become a saint. That is absolute man-made rubbish. It is not Bible. It's not scripture. It's not truth. And it's not accurate. It's man's idea of religion. And it's not God's heart, and it's not God's way. So if you got offended by that, I don't mean any disrespect, but I'm not going to, you know, I'm not going to mix words, and I'm not going to blow smoke and mirrors. I'm going to tell you the truth. That's my job. Praise God. 1 Corinthians 6:2, do you not know that the saints shall judge the world? That's us. Chapter 14, verse 33, God is not the author of confusion, but he is the author of peace in all the churches of the saints. So every born-again believer, and I can go on and on. There's two more examples here in 1 Corinthians. There's 1, 2, 3, 4, 5. In 2 Corinthians, there's 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6, 7, 8, 9 more in Ephesians. There's 2 in Philippians. There's 4 in Colossians. There's 1 in 1 Thessalonians, 1 in 2 Thessalonians, 1 in 1 Timothy, 2 in Philemon, 2 in Hebrews, 2 in Jude, and 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6, 7, 8, 9, 10, 11, 12, 13, 14, 14 in the book of Revelation. So listen, you're a saint. If you're born again, the Bible calls you a saint. And let me give you a quick definition of saints. Saints is the Greek word hagios. And hagios means that which is sacred, pure, morally blameless, or religious, ceremonially consecrated, a holy one, a saint. And in Christ, you are holy, you are pure, you are a saint of God, not because of anything you do, but because of what Jesus has done and your faith in his blood. Does that answer the question thoroughly, Gare?
I think it does.
Praise God. Isn't it good to have the truth? It's good to just have the word of God. You don't have to try to figure it out or understand it. All you got to do is believe it. We have too many emails tonight, Gary. Can you slow these down, please?
Yeah, I see that.
I don't think I can get to 17 emails in the next 4 minutes, but I will try. Okay. Let's get your emails tonight, saints. This one's from Frank. Hey, Pastor, tomorrow is the very first day of spring. Well, glory to God. I wish the weather would catch up and understand it's spring. Here is to planting good seed into people. Amen. Happy spring, Frank. Call you blessed in Jesus' name. Don't forget to go to our website, spiritoffaithradio.com, spiritoffaithradio.com. And any seed that you want to sow would be a great blessing to us to pay for our radio time. Praise God. Another email here tonight from Grace. Grace says, I'm so single, when they ask for an emergency contact, I'm just putting down Jesus. Amen. Well, I guess you're not single. You're in Christ. Praise God. But I know exactly what you mean, Grace. And I call you blessed tonight in Jesus' name. Another email here tonight from Nancy. Nancy says, Pastor, is there anywhere in the Bible that stated that Jesus drank wine, even if occasionally? Absolutely. As a matter of fact, Jesus turned water into wine. Here's the thing we have to understand about wine. He did not drink wine to get drunk. He did not drink wine to socialize. Jesus drank wine ceremonially. And I believe the early church did as well. Now, some say that it wasn't fermented wine. It was more like juice, like grape juice, that was not fermented. But I think it's interesting that the wedding at Cana, the Bible tells us that they saved the best wine for last. So I would think that that's referring to fermented grapes, but I could be wrong. But certainly the Bible tells us in Proverbs that wine is a mocker and strong drink is a rage. It's not God's will for us to drink. And sipping saints are slipping saints. The more you sip, some people, Gary, can't handle wine at all.
I don't, because it gives me indigestion, but okay. I have drunk it quite a bit.
But for some people, what happens is that there's this desire to drink more. Yeah. And drink more.
Yeah.
And you drink 2, 3, 4, 5 glasses of wine, you're drunk.
Yeah, for sure.
And when you're drunk, you make bad decisions.
Absolutely.
You open the door for the enemy. When you drive by those bars, what do they say? How do they describe the bars? Food and?
Drink.
No.
Food and?
Spirits.
Oh, yeah. Yeah, spirits, yeah.
Food and spirit. What are spirits?
Well, booze.
Spirits, right? Are demons.
Yeah.
So what does alcohol do? Alcohol drops your inhibitions and opens you up to be susceptible to demon spirits.
Well, I'm not a drinker, so I don't worry about that.
I'm not talking about you. I'm just talking about in general. For anybody in particular, it opens you up. So stay away from it, saints. I call y'all saints in the name of Jesus. All right. Thank you, Nancy. Call you blessed in Jesus' name. Another email here tonight from our friend Helga. Helga says, hi, Pastor. Praying for Trump. Me too. Father, we just release our faith right now in lifting up Donald Trump. Lord, have your way. Do what you want to do with Donald Trump. We love Donald Trump, Lord. And we're at, not because of a political agenda, but because he is a man that's called according to your purpose. And you have used him greatly in the United States. And we pray that you would do everything you want to do in this next election and use him for your glory. Protect him and bless him with peace. And we pray, Lord, that you would even increase his peace and speak to him and help him to further develop his relationship with you in Jesus' name. Amen. Helga, we agree in the name of Jesus. Call you blessed. Another email here tonight from Sue. Sue says, hello, Pastor John. It's a picture of a little girl with a big hand over her head, and it looks like she's crying. And it says, God, heal me. Heal my memory. Heal my heart. Heal my emotions. Heal my spirit. And heal my body. Amen. I agree 100%. Call every one of you healed. And we receive that. Thank you for that tonight, Helga. Call you blessed in Jesus' name. I'm sorry, Sue. Call you blessed in Jesus' name. Another email here tonight from our friend Jim. Jim says, Pastor, should we always turn the other cheek, even if it's physical? Thanks. Great question. Really good question. So when Jesus talks about turning the other cheek, he's talking certainly about those who abuse you, who use you, despitefully use you, say all manner of evil against you. And remember this, there is a time to walk away, and there's also a time to stand your ground. Jesus said in Luke 21, I think, He said, I send you out as sheep among wolves. And he said, if you don't have a sword, sell your coat and buy one. I've showed you all that before, haven't I, Gary?
Yes, you have.
If you don't have a sword, sell your coat. Where is that? Luke 22:36. Because he said that not all men have faith, and going out there in the world, there is a time to certainly stand your ground. There are stand your ground laws, even here in Michigan. And what that means is that you don't have to retreat. If someone is threatening your life, you don't have to run away. If you're in a position where they're threatening your life, you can legally defend yourself with lethal force. And you know, my faith early on, have I ever talked about this, Gary, that I used to believe that I just believe God to protect me. But then God showed me in his word that not only should I believe God to protect me, but I should also be prepared to protect myself.
I don't remember you talking about that.
Yeah, but yes. So my faith originally was, God, You know, I know you're going to protect me. Psalm 91, I'm dwelling in the secret place of the Most High under the shadow of the Almighty. Only with my eyes will I behold and see the reward of the wicked, et cetera, et cetera. But then God began to reveal to me that, yes, you stand and you believe me for protection, but you also do all of my word. And so if someone breaks in my house to kill, steal, and destroy, you know, operating with a demon spirit, trying to hurt my family, I'm going to shoot them and then pray for them. I'm not going to do it in hostility or anger or murder. If not every person that is killed, Gary, is murdered.
Yes.
If someone breaks into my house to hurt me and I kill them, I did not murder them.
No.
And in it's a poor translation in the King James, but in Exodus chapter 20, one of the Ten Commandments, it says, thou shalt not
murder. Not kill.
Exactly. That's what it should have said. Thou shalt not murder. He's talking about taking an innocent life. Proverbs 8 talks about the same thing. There are six things the Lord hates. Yea, seventh is an abomination. And one of the six things that God hates is those that take innocent blood. Well, somebody who is coming to kill you is not innocent. And If you have to stop them with lethal force, God is behind you on that. Romans chapter 13 talks about how soldiers or agents of the government that use lethal force. Romans 13 says they bear not the sword in vain, but they are avengers of righteousness, and they bear not that sword in vain. So they are ministers of God as FBI, Royal Canadian Police, Mounted Police, OPP, all the police officers. They are ministers of God, agents of righteousness. And if they use that sword to stop unrighteousness, then they are actually doing the will of God. My pastor early on, he used to say, you cast the demon out of the person. In the Gospel of Mark, he says that believers will lay hands on the sick and they shall recover. They shall cast out demons, et cetera, et cetera. My pastor used to say, Mark 16, he said, you cast the demon out of the person, but if the person doesn't want the demon to go, then you cast the person out with the demon. That's why, you know, the death penalty is not against the Bible. The death penalty is biblical. An eye for an eye. Now that's not New Testament, but that is the Bible. Praise God. Amen. Let's move on tonight in the name of Jesus. You got us all stirred up. How much more time? I got two more minutes, Gary.
Two more minutes you got.
I'm going to have to finish some of these emails next week.
Yeah,
I got so many emails tonight. Call you blessed, Jim. You got us all fired up on that one. I thought that was going to be a quick answer. Praise God. Another email here tonight from James. James says, hello, Pastor John. Faith. Always pray to have eyes that see the best in people. I love that. That's 1 Corinthians 13. That's so good, James. A heart that forgives the worst, a mind that forgets the bad, and a soul that never loses faith in God. That is so good. Thank you for sharing that tonight. Call you blessed, James, in Jesus' name. Another email here tonight from Alexis. Alexis says, hi, Pastor John. Why is it that some people say group Bible study is important when I cannot find anything that says that? Didn't Jesus say, go to your room and pray? I would assume alone. What about studying the Bible on their own? Is that bad? Thank you. No, it's not bad, but it is biblical for us all to study together. And if you remember in the book of Acts, the Bible says they met from house to house. And in Romans, it says they met together the first day of the week. What were they doing? They were preaching and teaching. Everywhere Jesus went, he was teaching the word of God. That's a Bible study. And so we are to have Bible studies together. It's powerful when we meet together and we talk about the Word of God. The Lord dropped it in my heart either early this morning, I think it was early this morning, about calling up a certain individual and just sitting down with them for an hour and just studying the Bible together. Now, does that take away from my own study time? No. As a matter of fact, I got two books downloaded right now on my iPad that I need, well, no, one book downloaded and one book in a hardcover that I need to start studying. Now, when I'm reading a book, I'm also studying the Word of God because I'm constantly renewing my mind to the Word of God. But God uses people to bring out certain subjects and revelations of God's Word. So when Jesus said, go into your room and pray alone, that's talking about prayer. But there is also corporate prayer where you come together with others and all pray together. We see that also in the book of Acts, Acts chapter 4, Acts chapter 2. Where they all came together. In Acts chapter 4, their corporate prayer together was so powerful, there was an earthquake, it shook the place. When Paul and Silas were in prison, they prayed, and the place was shaken. So corporate prayer is powerful. Corporate Bible study, church times, meeting together is, I mean, really, us together on the radio tonight is church. We're having church on the radio, and we're having Bible study on the radio, and we're all together doing it. So no, it's powerful and important, but it does not replace personal study. Thank you for that awesome email tonight, Alexis. I call you blessed in Jesus' name. And I just can't get to all these emails tonight. Let me get to two more real quickly. This one's from Mike. Mike says, Pastor, if we have a problem with a person due to their personality traits, is it a sin to talk to God about that rather than another person complaining to them about that person? I'm not sure I fully understand this. If we have a problem with a person due to their personality and traits, et cetera, is it a sin to talk to God about that? No, it's never a sin to talk to God about anything. For the most part, just talk to him about it. He'll give you understanding on what to do. But certainly we don't want to complain to other people. That can absolutely be a sin. Hebrews chapter 2 and Hebrews chapter 4 talks about that, about an evil heart of unbelief and murmuring and complaining. God hates it. So, it's important to talk to God about it. And you're going to have people like that. I got people like that in my life. I know Gary does, and Gary loves everybody. Yeah. but I got people that just rub me the wrong way, and they've been doing it for years. And so I just have to walk in love with them. And I'm sure I rub people the wrong way. I know I do. I rub people the wrong way. I hate it. I don't want to rub people the wrong way. I want everybody to love me, but it ain't going to happen. And I can't try to please everybody. I need to please God. And when I'm pleasing to God, he said he'll cause others to be at peace with me. That's what's most important. Last email of the night. I got more, but I just don't have time. I'll get to them next week, I promise. Lord willing. This one's from Lori. Lori says, hi to Pastor John. I'm a new listener from Akron, Ohio. Wow. Praise God, Lori. We're so glad to have you on board. And we're so glad to have all of you on board. We thank Gary for his grace and giving us extra time tonight. I want you to check out our website, spiritoffaithradio.com, spiritoffaithradio.com. Remember, we're here every Sunday night at 8:30 p.m. Eastern Standard Time. Until next week, I want to remind you that God is exalted. The devil is defeated. Jesus is Lord, and keep fighting the good fight of faith.
Thank you for listening to The Spirit of Faith with your host, Pastor John Ward, right here on Reality Radio 101.